Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the KE Report. I'm going to start out with one of the great veterans of this radio program. Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc, has been around with us almost since the inception of this particular program. Doc is a chartist. He's one of the best. He is very, very accurate in what he is doing, for lack of better terms, in his investing, in his prognosis. Doc, appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. Doc, I was out of town this past week for a couple of days. I saw what many, many progressives right now are feeling are some real downsides of the current administration, the Biden administration. Nothing has happened on the border, even though Kamala Harris is now in charge of it. We still have a huge amount of illegal aliens streaming in this country. I don't want to talk about that necessarily from a societal viewpoint with you. What I want to talk about with you is what's happening to the economy because of the excessive welfare that is occurring in the country right now. Employers in my neck of the woods are having trouble hiring people because people are making more money living on welfare and unemployment, what have you. Unemployment is partially welfare. I don't know how people can get up in the morning and look themselves in the face, in the mirror, and continue to support what's going on right now. Our country is headed down, but I don't want to talk politics with you. I want to talk about investment potential. Where would you go right now? Now, the market has treated me relatively well over the past, I would have to say month or so, because my investment advisor knows where to go. What's your comment, first of all, right now? Where is the best place to be? Nowhere? Sitting in cash or what, Dick?
Well, number one, Al, I think the best place to be is in a significant amount of cash, because I think based on the technicals, and I mentioned this before, that our momentum indicators are some of the highest I've ever seen, meaning we in all probability are starting to peak here with the conventional markets. And
I want you to explain why. You're basing that statement pretty much on the momentum indicators. Our listeners are very sophisticated, and I would like you to explain to them what the momentum indicators are telling you and why they are telling you that, Doc.
Well, and it's the long-term ones, Al, which I put more credence into. I don't look at the short-term charts much. They're just noise, like the daily and weekly charts. The weeklies are a little bit better than the dailies. And as you go out, they get even better as far as telling you whether you're going to get a change in trend. And when you go out to the monthly charts, those momentum indicators are the highest I've seen in 30, 40, 50 years.
Doc, let me interrupt you for a second. Let's talk about momentum indicators. Define them with a certain amount of exactitude, if you would.
Well, all that momentum indicators are to define at a certain point in time the directions of a market. And they're not the same thing as strength indicators, which they go kind of hand in hand, but they show the amount of momentum in a given market over time and in the direction that market is moving. And that's what is called momentum. And you can have it on short-term charts like dailies and weekly charts. You can have them on monthly. Now, the monthly charts are much more important because they show you over a greater period of time how high the particular momentum is getting in those markets. And when it gets to the point where they're at a level that you've never seen them before, you know we've got incipient problem coming that we're probably peaking out in a market. But it just shows you direction for where the strength is in a market and what the tendency for a market is at that particular point in time as far as whether it's moving up or down.
And you're fairly pessimistic right now in terms of the future of the market, because you said right now, in your opinion, the best place to be is pretty much in cash, correct?
A good percentage of cash. And if you want to call mutual, if you want to call interest-bearing accounts cash, I would include that in cash. Okay. Where you're getting some interest on your money, at least maybe 2-3% if you're fortunate. Right now I'm in considerable cash. I am getting a little bit more with this pullback in commodities and precious metals. I will be getting a greater position in those, because I think with commodities, we've just started a possible long trend move in these commodities, and we're getting a little bit of a pullback in some of them. And as they come back, I will probably take a position in them again, which I had been, but I sold out a lot of them and they've come back. But the same thing goes for precious metals. We're pulling back on those. I think that is going to continue for a while. But I'll take a bigger position in those when I think they bottomed out.
Any time frame in terms of precious metals bottoming out, Doc?
Yeah, I think potentially we'll be bottoming toward the end of the year or the first quarter of next year, based on what I'm seeing on the monthly charts. And then I think we trade sideways for a while in those before the next big move. I think what we're entering right now, Al, with all this fiscal and monetary stimulus we've had, that's going to come to an end toward the end of this year. And I think the conventional market might sniff that out. They always look ahead, and they might be sniffing out the fact that when that stimulus money is gone, we could have an economy that shows minimal growth or a stagnation in the growth, because they won't be getting the free money again unless Congress does it again or the Fed does it again. But I think we're going to enter a period here. Everybody was talking about inflation. I do believe we're going to enter a period of disinflation, meaning the rate of change of inflation will lessen. That doesn't mean it's going to drop appreciably, but it's not going to be growing at the rate we've been seeing. And if that happens, I think we're going to find that the economy is going to see a significant slowdown in 2022, and the conventional markets might be topping and pointing that out to us in the next few weeks, because I think we could see a rollover in the conventional markets signaling that we're going to have slow growth in this economy next year.
I want to talk about that in the next segment. We got about a minute here. I want to take most of that minute, make some comments here. I'm a fundamentalist. I'm not a chartist. You are one of the best chartists who I have ever seen, and I appreciate that. From a fundamental standpoint, and that's where my education, all four of my degrees, with the exception of a degree in Russian literature, all four of my degrees are in some form of finance, and I have always believed in fundamentals. The fundamentals right now for America are looking absolutely abysmal. And I have to say that I want to get into that as soon as we take a real quick commercial break right here, Doc, because I don't see a rebound coming in the relatively near future. Stick around, going to be right back.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing my discussion with Richard Postma. Doc, you ought to write a book. I just want to say that. I know you have plenty of capital in your back pocket, but I want to say you really should write a book. You'd be doing society, at least those of us who are interested in investing and the financial implications from a technical standpoint, pardon me, of the current investing environment. Write a book. You would be doing all of us a huge, huge favor. Now, I have to say, from a fundamental standpoint, what I am seeing right now bodes very, very poorly for the economy. Inflation is starting to run rampant. People don't want to work because the Pelosi's and Schumer's and Biden's and Harris's of the world want to get them dependent on the government, and the government is now paying people more money than they can make if they actually go out and get a job. This is pretty sad, in my opinion, Doc. First of all, opine on that, if you would, and then let's get back to fundamentals of our economy.
Well, it's ironic, Al, but I think the biggest threat to our country is not external, and it's not Russia, I'll tell you. China is a threat from the standpoint of the number of people in that country and the growth of that economy. The Chinese have always put out five-year plans, and they stick to them, and we let that horse out of the barn a few years ago, and now they're not going to put it back. But the biggest threat to this country is the Democrat Party and the left. These people are without a conscience. They are without ethics.
Yep.
And
they
could care less about the middle class of this country, and they will do anything to maintain power. And that's why you're seeing them open up the border to people. That's why you're seeing them trying to make more people dependent on bigger government, because that's how they get their support and their votes. They're the party of the big money, of big tech, of Wall Street, and they're the party of the people that want something for nothing. And unfortunately, they have infiltrated into academia. They have infiltrated into our military. They have infiltrated in different entities within our country and different institutions. And frankly, they're the threat to this country. It is not an external threat that we should be concerned about.
Well, I happen to agree 100%. You know, what I'm finding to be interesting, and Eddie and everybody else, and CFS, everybody else, Larry, everybody, I want to say that what I am finding right now, and this is a very inopportune time for this to be happening to me, if I need to hire someone to do some services around my home right now, I'm not even getting calls returned anymore, which I find to be absolutely a very, very interesting comment. People aren't even returning calls anymore because they do not have to. I'm getting some major remodeling done on my bathroom right now that Kathy wanted to get done as her last action. And let me tell you, it's turning out to be absolutely a nightmare. The subcontractor that was hired by my general contractor has been working on the bathroom now for, since May, June, July. That's 3 months. When August rolls around, that'll be 4 months, and it doesn't look like he'll even be done by then. He doesn't have to worry about me. He's got so much work right now, he's simply cherry picking, but he's showing an awful lot about his integrity, which is virtually zero. What's happening with why the pessimistic and laissez-faire attitude among workers? It's got to be because of the government, correct?
Yeah, and you know, just as an example, Al, just recently an Arkansas judge ordered the unemployment stimulus to continue, despite, and this is an activist judge, probably put in this position by Obama in the past, and Obama did tremendous damage to this country by moving these people in positions that could affect this country. But he ordered the unemployment stimulus to continue despite Arkansas having 40,000 vacant jobs. And this is just beyond the pale. And if you look at the states that have stopped these unemployment stimulus checks, they're actually seeing employment increasing, whereas the states that haven't, there's a big difference. You're just not seeing people take jobs. And until that stops, you're not going to see people looking for work that are just very happy to take money from the government for doing nothing.
It's an amazing situation that the greatest that was, which a country that was once the greatest country in the world, it's amazing what we are currently currently going through right now. You know, it's 10:20 on a Friday morning as we are recording this, you guys, and I have to tell you that it's just amazing the amount of pessimism which we are seeing right now. Now, I had a bit of a problem with the comments last week. Apparently, they were posted incorrectly. I want to say the same thing during this particular program that I said last week. I will give all of my time to addressing comments. And you know what? Venting is fine at this moment in time. I think the only way that we can look for solutions at this point is simply to say that it is the executive offices and Congress that are causing the problems right now. I happen to agree 100% with that. That is only my opinion. I don't know how long I'll be able to give that opinion, but that's my story and I'm sticking to it right now. So, Doc, to sum up what you were saying is keep your money in your back pocket in terms of investing, in terms of retirement. Be as long in cash as you possibly can. And for lack of better terms, let's kind of, you know, wait and see in terms of the precious metals markets. And also, let's kind of wait and see in terms of the conventional markets. We have less than a minute left, Doc. Did I sum up your opinions accurately?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, Al. And I'm not saying anybody should listen to my advice, but I'm just telling you what I'm doing based on what I see coming here. And you can bet that if we have a slowdown in our economy and it's significant next year, you can bet that the only answer to this anymore is more money. And it's at that point in time when that happens, that I think that once again, the precious metals will eventually do well. And I think the next move in precious metals, whenever it comes down the road, is going to be one of the biggest ones we've seen.
Doc, I got to cut it because of commercial. I agree with you 1,000%. Don't necessarily quit buying gold. Just use your discretionary money for that. Be right back with Jim McKinney.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in time for the second half of the KE Report. Got some interesting things to talk about. Chatting with Jim McKinney right now. Hope you guys all appreciated some of the things that Doc had to say about investing in the good old US of A right now. Jimmy, I spent 3 days this week over on Lopez Island, which is a real bastion of liberalism, and even the people over there are getting very, very disenchanted with the Biden regime. The main thing that they are disenchanted with is the lack of workers. The government is paying so much money right now in terms of welfare, and I have to believe that that's to amass as many votes from the downtrodden that they possibly can. The ferry systems are not running correctly because they cannot hire help. The ferry for me going over to Lopez was 2 hours late, and the ferry coming back was probably more than 2 hours late. Can't get any help, so restaurants are closed, not only in our area, but also over on Lopez Island. What the hell is the government trying to do, Jimmy? And why are they totally not succeeding? You're on, bud.
Well, I think you made the point there that they're trying to buy votes. They're trying to buy constituents by giving them free stuff. And, of course, Gavin Newsom in California is spending billions of California taxpayers' dollars, people that actually work and provide taxes, to people who don't work. And, of course, the Biden administration is doing the same thing by extending unemployment benefits, by offering $100 for people to be trying to convince local and state officials to give people $100 to get vaccinated as an incentive. And all these issues are basically because they're having a very tough time right now. They've had a very tough week. The Biden regime has had a tough week, and they're trying to distract from some of the failures in their policies right now.
Okay. I agree 100%. The failures, I have to say, is I have always thought, and I know that Eddie and CFS and a whole bunch of other people are going to say that I'm an idiot for saying this, but I've always thought that the leaders of the Democratic Party, who I simply don't support, Eddie, Abelon, none of you, you all have to realize I do not support them at all. Chuck Schumer and, at this point, Nancy Pelosi. They have to be fairly effective politicians to have gotten where they are today. I would like to know how they could have possibly made this colossal mistake, because the country right now is very definitely not working efficiently. Any comments on that, Jimmy?
Well, I think it's in their mind, it's not a mistake. They're doing micro polling. They're looking at how they can convince people how they can buy them off. And of course, they, went in the last previous four years was a hate Trump extravaganza.
Right.
They continually push that agenda. So now they've got to distract and do something different. And I'll tell you what I think. Here's my theory. This is my personal theory. Biden had a really tough week, and he's had a real problem with inflation. He's had a serious problem with the border influx. We're talking 10 times the flow of illegal immigrants from the previous year, when the Trump administration had done a pretty good job at doing that. You've got failures in Afghanistan. You've got basically, disastrous policies with vaccinations and COVID lockdowns and face masks and inconsistent positions with senior administration officials publicly. So why is all this happening? My theory, there are some very serious analyses going on in Arizona, in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, and potentially in Wisconsin and Michigan on the vote, on the November 3rd vote. And what's happening in Maricopa County looks like they're going to show a significant number, enough votes that would have significantly changed the outcome for that state, as well as fraud in Georgia. And some of the statistics that are coming out of the counties in Pennsylvania show massive, massive potential voter fraud. If these reviews and audits come out, then it undermines the complete legitimacy of this administration, the current Biden regime. So what do they have to do to distract? They've got to keep the face mask policies going. They've got to keep people on their, spinning back and forth and angry and frustrated over new lockdowns and the Delta variant. And I think they're manipulating the media and the population survive.
Let me just interrupt you for a second. Of course they're manipulating the media. There's no question whatsoever about that. And the media is doing it because the Democrats, quite frankly, have a really good idea. Feel sorry for the downtrodden, help the downtrodden, and you'll be a better person. And that's what the progressives are saying right now. They're going to realize eventually that America is falling to pieces. And I feel so, and that's only my opinion. Freedom of speech has not been taken away yet. It could very well be right around the corner. And this program will then have to probably be very careful about what we say or shut down, one of the two. And I hope that that doesn't happen. I already have listeners who are angry at me, Jim, simply because they are so frustrated, as I am also. Your comments, sir.
I believe some people have been silenced. Freedom of speech is not available to everyone in America right now. And people like organizations like the ACLU, liberal Democrats that fought and argued, you know, in the 60s and the 70s for, you know, the right of free speech, they're actually turned the other way right now. They're turning against people and silencing voices. We have New York Times political editor actually saying that Trump supporters need to be declared enemies of the state. These are absolutely extreme positions that are taking away the rights of American citizens to voice their grievances. If you don't agree with the Biden regime, if you don't agree with the media, you're going to be slammed. I'm hoping, I believe that people are beginning to wake up and starting to push back, because as you say, the people on Lopez Island and some of the people around our neighborhood are kind of questioning what's going on. This,
right.
You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You keep, you know, batting down the Republicans. If they take power in 2022, watch out what happens the other direction. So, you know, we don't want that. We need to have people actually allow the fundamentals of our Constitution to continue to go forward and make that a precedent. And, of course, we've got to fight for it.
You know, I have to tell you, I want to continue this discussion. I don't have to tell you, but I want to tell you because I want to tell our listeners. I want to rant myself a little bit here. We have to take a real quick 30 seconds for a commercial break. And I want to go on as to comments about what's happening in our country today. My liberal friends vehemently disagree with me right now. I vehemently disagree with them. They are showing me nothing in terms of proof. I have to say that. And it's getting actually pretty antagonistic in my world right now. My oldest daughter won't even talk to me because I support the Trump philosophy. Terminated my relationship with her. And I decided to also terminate my relationship with my grandson. He wants to come and visit me, but I don't want him to do that because I know that my oldest daughter and her husband do not want him to be around me. Ladies and gentlemen, because of my views, ladies and gentlemen, a real quick commercial break, right back. Jimmy, you are in the process of getting more and more active in the Republican Party right now, and I commend you for doing that. I have one question for you. What's going on locally in the Republican Party? Do we have something optimistic that we can talk about so our listeners will know we're not just sitting on our thumbs, but we're actually taking action?
Well, I think there is a lot of people that have been on the fence, that don't really pay much attention. And we've talked about this before. They don't spend much time staying abreast of the local politics, or even, you know, certainly not the national politics, but, you know, they don't really, local politics is not that important to most people. But now you're seeing in Washington State, these really unbelievably lax policing policies that are coming down from the state legislature that are not allowing law enforcement to go out and actually chase somebody if they're off your property after a robbery. That's just absolutely insane. You're seeing the school gender policies where kindergartners are being taught sex ed and through legislative action by the Washington state. You're seeing inflation. You're seeing environmentalists close down smart, wise, environmentally friendly businesses like aluminum. And people are beginning to wake up and say, wait a second, I think I better get involved locally. So we see a large influx of people that have typically been on the fence and not cared, beginning to stand up and say, wait a second, I've got to do something. And we're seeing more and more businesses and more business leaders that say, wait a second, I won't survive here. I can't go on. My workers are going to be out of a job if we continue with these draconian lockdowns. If we can't get more employees, I will not make enough money to keep my business open. That is creating backlash. People are stepping up, and we have to see it around the country. Washington State and our little county here is one little example, but I see that as an optimistic sign that people are going to be much more involved in this next midterm, and of course in our upcoming local elections in November of this year.
Jimmy, what I want to say is I am offering you my time and my talent and to a certain extent my treasure for the Republican Party. I am happy. I have plenty of time right now since Kathy has passed away. I would like to become as active as I can, informing our listeners what's going on in this particular program is one thing. I also want to roll up my sleeves and get active in the Republican Party here in the Northwest. So you've got me volunteering to the most important person in the local Republican Party right now, Jim McKinney, offering you all the help that I can possibly give. I will take all of my direction from you because you, Jim, know a lot more about the local political level than I do. I am getting very, very unhappy with the totally pessimistic attitude that's going on right now in our neighborhood and every place where I go. Give me some comments.
Well, I believe, Al, that, you know what, yes, the Republican Party, I'm exceptionally involved with it, but there are people in the Republican Party that are actually have sold out this nation as well. There are senior leaders within both the state and as well as nationally that have sold out America to corporate interests, that have sold out America to financial interests, that have want to keep, you know, that have some great philosophical view that they're somehow, I'll just give an example, Mitt Romney, that he's more sanctimonious than Donald Trump, though he's been a politician for, you know, decades,
yeah,
and he's as manipulative as anybody else. So wait a second, it's not just the Republican Party. It's this nation. It's the future of this nation. It's about sovereignty for America. It's about our ability to keep local people employed. It's about our ability to provide services and manufacturing to make this nation better. It's about doing things that protect our families and our schools and our children. And that's what the fight's about. It just so happens that the Democrats have lost their direction. They're being manipulated by very influential and very powerful interests that want to give people something for nothing, that want to give away free stuff. And the Republican Party is the closest thing that I believe goes back to those fundamental constitutional values, though it's got to change as well. It's got to stop the institutional country club type of actions that, you know, in the past that they were better than you or better than they. And I see that happening. I see it happening at a grassroots level because I see a lot more minorities. I see a lot more Hispanics, a lot more blacks in our community, which is, you know, very few that are stepping up conservative values. It's not just about the Republican Party. It's really about those values in this nation.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. There's no question about that. There is a lot of pessimism going on right now. What I'm going to do, and I want everybody to be aware of this, all of my regular listeners, our regular listeners, we are going to do everything that we possibly can to inform you as to what's going on right now. You all are very aware of what's going on in the local area here. I think if you multiply that times at least 100, maybe even 1,000, you have a good idea what's going on in other much largely areas that are populated a lot more densely than ours is right now. What's going on here is simply a barometer and indication of what's going on in the entire country. I have to say, I sincerely would not want to be in California right now. I would not want to be in Wisconsin. I would not want to be in any of the major cities on the West Coast. The Saul Alinskys of the world are doing, and I have to give them credit where credit is due, they are doing an excellent job, in my opinion, in giving this country over to the communistic element and the socialistic element. They're doing a great job. They're very smart people. I totally oppose them. Jim, give me some comments on that. Are they doing a great job in your opinion?
Well, they've been fairly successful, I will admit. And it's sad that people are basically Americans have like stopped paying attention and don't understand what the negative aspects of socialism and Marxism and what the damage that it's done to humanity in the past. They forget because we've had a couple of years of good times. And of course, they're using the hate card and the race card as the most influential weapon to intimidate people. You know, I wanted to go back to from the previous segment. We talked a little bit about the Biden administration. They've had a really tough week. It started off with CNN town hall, Biden saying that, hey, only people that are unvaccinated have got the virus. 2 days later, the CDC says, hey, look, even vaccinated people have to have masks on. You know, these are crazy twists. Biden says, look, I used to drive a 18-wheeler, total fictitious lie. And I'm just going to end it with this. A friend of mine, actually a close friend, was in the neurology office with his neurologist. And apparently the neurologists in California, who are not conservative by any means, they watch Biden and they just laugh out loud at a large medical group inside in California, in the Central California area, because they look at him and say, oh my gosh, he's like one of our Alzheimer's patients, one of our mentally handicapped patients.
Right.
And that's who's leading the country. That's why people are uncomfortable, because they're seeing there's no leadership and there's a continual spin to protect him. And that's what's so damaging and undermining confidence in everybody right now.
I agree 1,000%. Let me make one comment because we have to cut this here very, very shortly. One comment, if Biden ever got behind the wheel of an 18-wheeler and drove it even 5 feet, he would not
stay
be
out
lying.
Of the way.
He would not be lying. And that's unfortunately the type of action right now that the progressives are dealing with. If you want to live in a country that has a preponderance of gay people, if you want to live in a country that has a preponderance, let me not say gay, because my feeling on that is they will all be judged in the final judgment. And I want to say that's not my place to judge them. I totally disagree with them, but God's going to get them. He's going to win in the long run. Thanks for listening, folks.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.